Just before we get to this final segment of our series, Legacy Living, let me just remind you again that Sunday, December the 4th, is our Legacy Sunday. So that's a time where we have set aside just to be able to come out and be a blessing unto Almighty God. We bring him an absolute, you know, a gift, our first and our best, just to say, God, we thank you for the gift that you have given unto us. So begin to pray now and prepare yourself, you know, now for that Sunday, December the 4th. Then, of course, if you didn't already hear, next week is the end of daylight savings time. So you know what that means? You get an extra hour of sleep. Come on, come on, come on. So you got no excuse to be late now. Come on now. I mean, come on. Hey, hey, hey. You get an extra hour of sleep, so enjoy it. I know I'm going to enjoy it as well. And then next Sunday, someone say next Sunday. Be sure to gather family, friends, neighbors, coworkers and say, hey, come out and join me for a different experience called At the Movies. You know, where we're just going to have some time just to be able to sample some particular movies and see God's messaging throughout them so that we can be encouraged and we can know how to encourage others. It never ends with us. Let me say that again. It never ends with us. You don't get the word really just for you. Never ends with us. See, this thing is always supposed to be a funnel. Yeah, we're getting it, but then we're passing it on. See, when you get it and you don't pass it on, that's called a dam. That's not how it functions in the kingdom. So those are some things. Just wanted to make sure we highlighted. Are you ready for God's word today? Would you say yes?
Yes.
Come on, online. Are you ready? Say yes.
Yes.
Man, we can hear you guys online. Oh, that was the folks in here. Praise God. All right. Father, we give you honor, glory, and praise. Thank you again for your continued presence. Thank you now just for your word. Trust you, Daddy, for freedom of utterance in the Holy Spirit, words that are alive, explosive, dynamic, undeniable, that comes directly from you, that my speech, preaching, and teaching would not be with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of your spirit and power. We love you, sir. Give you praise in the wonderful name of Jesus. If you agree, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah indeed. So by way of quick review, our key text here for legacy living is Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. Says, good people leave an inheritance to their grandchildren, but the sinner's wealth passes to the godly. Someone say, I'm a good person. Now, you're not good just because you feel good. Not good just because you think good. We're taking God's definition for this, and God says, well, good people leave an inheritance for their children's children, their grandchildren. That's what good people do. So now if that's what good people do and we say that we're good people, that means we have to be intentional to leave a legacy for our children and our children's children. And as I've shared with you, we should be impacting at least four generations. Our own generation, our children, our grandchildren, and then also our parents. Because for many of us, as we get older, our parents are getting older, and watch this, and they need us. Come on, there needs this. So there's things we got to be creative and work out ways. Okay, what do I need to do here to sow into their lives? Come on, individuals that took care of you when you couldn't do nothing for yourself. Yeah. So we should be impacting at least four generations. So we're talking about the whole core affirmation for this series has been we want to leave an inheritance for our family. We want to leave a legacy and inheritance, watch this, for the next generation of believers. And we want to do so as well so that it is a witness to those who do not know God yet through Christ. So they too can come out of darkness over into God's marvelous light. So we talked about the fact that God not only wants us to reign as kings, but he wants us to establish a dynasty. Come on, your family should be a dynasty. Come on, your family should be a dynasty. See, so you look up, and there's many families you can point to that have been making tremendous impact and kind of was seen as a dynasty, you know, in the land, in America, in other countries as well. We just saw, you know, not very long ago, Queen Elizabeth, you know, passed. You know, they have a monarchy, which is a dynasty that's been lasting for hundreds of years. And I want you to understand that God wants you, your family, to be a dynasty in the earth. But a dynasty for the kingdom. Not just for yourself. Not just for your own notoriety. but for the kingdom of Almighty God. So let's go ahead and begin where I want to shift on today and kind of wrap this up. Some of what I want to get into today, I'm prayerful that it's going to be a reminder to some. For others, I'm sure it's going to catch you, you know, new. But for others, you should catch this. This just sounds familiar to you. I pray that it does. And I'm praying that it gets even deeper on the inside of you. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10 says this. I declare the end from the beginning and from long ago what is not yet done, saying my plan will take place and I will do all my will. Man, I love this. We're God. This is God talking. He says, listen, I declare the end from the beginning. You know, Miles Monroe said this. He's gone on to be with the Lord. But I love this quote. He says, your future is God's past. God finished you before he started you. I love that. Come on. Your future is God's past. God finished you before he started you. Watch this. When he started you, you were done. Everything that you need for life and godliness was provided by God from the foundations of the world for you. God says, I laid it all out for you. And that's why he says, I declare the end right at the very beginning. So anything, watch this, you think you need right now, in terms of prosperity, money, in terms of peace, in terms of happiness or joy, all of that has been provided for you already. Now listen, this is where a lot of religious folks, they don't like to hear this part that I'm about to share, but I'm going to share it anyway. Because the reality is, it's not on God right now if you're not tapping into it. And we can't blame God and say, well, maybe it's just the Lord's will. It's not the Lord's will. He provided it for you. He shed blood for you to have it. So now it's a matter of us realigning ourselves so that we can access. Someone say it's time to access. Absolutely, praise God. Remember this. For our future to look differently, we must demand our present mind to connect with what God has already done in our past. For our future to look differently, we must demand our present mind to connect with what God has already done in our past. This is where you have to understand the significance of what faith is. Faith is always backward focused. Faith is not something that is hopeful for the future. That's hope. Faith is backward focused in what God has already done. I'll give you a few statements on that. Faith is a present conviction in what has already been done in the past. Faith is my conviction in what God has already done that guarantees me a good future. Faith is a confident expectation of good in my future because of what God has already done in my past. That's faith. That's faith. A lot of times individuals are, we allow our faith to get aligned with how things look around us. So if things look okay, if reports are okay, then our faith is encouraged. Oh, yes, I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. But what it looks like around us has nothing to do with what God has already done. And truth be told, you don't want to allow your faith eyes to develop the habit of looking at present circumstances and situations. Because all of us know that's been living any length of time, present circumstances are subject to change. And they do. And when they're changing good, praise God, praise God, praise God. Yes, we're all excited. But if you live long enough, you'll have some days where it rains. You know, where there's some challenge there. How's our faith on those days? How's our faith on our rainy days? Okay. When we watch the circumstances or situation, waiting for evidence that God's word is true and it works, we're setting our faith up for a letdown. When we're watching for something on the outside to change, to confirm that God is working, we're setting our faith up for a letdown. Why? Because it may not look like it right now, but your stuff is already done. Yeah. Well, I hope you catch that. It may not look like it right now. It may not look like it at all. It may look like it's a complete wreck. But your faith focus is in what God has already done. And because you know that God has already done it, this Festival of Nations, you know, break out my Detroit lingo. Because you know God has already done it now we can rest. Here's something Spirit of God, you know, shared with me in this. It says, when our faith focuses on the past, it alleviates all the anxiety about our future. When our faith is focused on the past of what God has done. Come on, not the past of what we did. See, that's where a lot of people get focused, the past of what we did. We messed up. We jacked it up. We made a bad decision. So therefore, you start thinking about, well, maybe I don't deserve a good future. Listen, the blood of Jesus was poured out on your behalf regardless to what your behavior would or would not be. If we wanted to take that mindset, nobody's deserving. But God said, I don't care about that. I'm shedding blood because I call all of you worthy. So don't let your faith get into the past of what you've done or didn't do. Come on now. Anybody ever been there before? Where your faith is tied in what you didn't do, that sense of regret. Just like, man, if only I'd have done that differently, maybe this now would be different. Don't do that. You're tormenting yourself. Get your faith back to what God has done. Yeah, I did do that. But in the same token, God shed his blood for me. God gave his son for me. God redeemed me. God has reconciled me. God has made me righteous. That's what you begin to set your faith towards. And when we set our faith and focus it on the past of what God has done, it alleviates all anxiety about the future. See, listen. Let me say it in simple terms. If we're worried, concerned, or fretful about the future, it's because our faith is not focused in where it needs to be. We have to make sure that we are aligning our faith up with exactly what God has said. So let me remind you of this. We must renew our mind to the truth that we do not need God to do anything else for us. It is already done. He's already done all that we need for life and godliness. Come on, you got to renew your mind to that. You got to renew your mind to that truth. Listen, religion has scarred us. In many ways, religion has messed up so many people where you can't effectively, I won't say can't, but it's difficult for you to effectively have a good relationship with God. Religion has so jacked things up. We're constantly now at God, hoping that God will do something for us. Because in many cases, religion has taught us that God is kind of like the genie in a box. So you make your request. And he's a good father. So he's a good father. So he obviously has to give it to you. And then you see people and then they feel like they don't get something from God. Then they're mad at God and they walk away from God. That's just all because of that bad religion people have been taught. We must renew our mind to the truth that we do not need God to do anything else for us. He has already done all that we need for life and godliness. So we just need to get excited about what he's already done. Come on. I said we just need to get excited about what he's already done. Yeah. See, watch this. See, your present mind is still in the present. Get your mind back to what God has already done. And when you get your mind back there, then you realize the only thing I need to do now is celebrate and rejoice and be excited about what God has already done, because it's changed my future. Everything about your life, about my life, watch this, is blessed. It's blessed because what he has already done. So listen, let the anxiety melt away. Let there be a shift. Let those chains be broken once and for all. Come on, get the fullness of your life back. Because God wants to see you leave a legacy. Listen, if we stay in that broken state of religious thinking, you're going to pass that on. You're going to pass on that sense of religion. You're going to pass on that sense of brokenness. And I already know this. There's no parent in here that wants to do that. Not one of us. So what's the key? Come on, you got to get yourself back to a place of faith in God. Say it with me. Say, I believe you, God.
I believe you, God.
Yeah, yeah. So your decision today to believe what God has already done for you can completely alter the direction of your future. It can alter the direction of your future and therefore put you in the position to be able to leave the legacy, the fullness of the legacy that God wants you to extend to those that come after you. A life of lack now can become one of plenty. Years of medical challenges can turn into a future of healing and health. Come on, agitating, you know, marriage, you know, marital issues and family life can transform into genuine peace and happiness and joy. Come on, dissonant and rebellious children can repent and become faithful, obedient, godly seed. Brokenness, depression, and insecurity can give way to wholeness, confidence, and eternal hope. And internal focus and selfishness can give way to generosity and a legacy living mentality. One decision today of simply saying, God, I believe you. Say it with me, God, I believe you. Come on, turn that person around. You say, "You, I want you to get this morning." Say it with me. Say, listen, let's make this declaration together. Say, God, we believe you. Yes, absolutely. We believe you, God. We believe you, God. Yeah, we believe you. Well, what has God done? Well, let's review a few things very quickly. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Children of Israel are in exile. They're in slavery. Let's put it in those simple terms. And God says this to them in the midst of the slavery. And I believe God says some things to your ancestors and mine in the midst of the slavery. And you're the harvest of it today. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future, a good future." Here's a statement I want you to meditate on and think about. Even when something looks like it was not God's will, God can still work it into his plan. Now, you know this to be accurate. Something wasn't necessarily God's will, but watch this. If you allow there to be an atmosphere shift, God can still work that into his plan. Okay, I'll give you a biblical example. Biblical example is King David. King David is the first, you know, Peeping Tom. Should have called it Peeping David, I guess. And he's watching this woman from his rooftop bathing, and lust fills his heart. And he's just like, oh, I got to have that one. And he's the king, so whatever the king says, that's what goes. So he sends someone to go, hey, go ahead. That one, bring on over here. Well, the woman is married. King doesn't care. He wants what he wants. He has sex with her. Her name is Bathsheba. She goes back. David's like, I'm good now. I can move on. Watch this. I conquered what I wanted to conquer. That's how a lot of times men can be. And the woman sends message back after a little while. So you know it had to be, it had to be at least 30 days or so. You'll figure that out. Sends a message back and says, King, I'm pregnant. I'm with child. And the only one I've slept with is you. Because my husband is on the front lines in battle where you was actually supposed to have been. But anyway, David's like, oh, come on. Now, you ever been in this situation before? You've made a bonehead decision. And rather than, watch this, repent, you go into cover-up mode. That's what David did. He goes into cover-up mode. Now, he's like, okay, I got to work something out here. Goes through this elaborate stuff, has, you know, her husband, Uriah, come back from, you know, the front, tries to get him to go in and have some time and have sex with his wife so that, you know, when she announces he has a baby, he'll think it's his, and, you know, David will be clear. Uriah won't do it, though. He's too honorable to go home at this particular time, you know, to sleep, you know, with his wife. What won't do it? So finally, David's like, okay, I got to do something because this is really going to mess me up. David writes a note. I'm talking about this is just ridiculous. He writes a note and seals it, gives it to Uriah. The note tells the captain on the front lines that, listen, the bearer of this note, Uriah, I want you to put him on the front line of the hottest battle and have the rest of the troops, you know, withdraw. Writes the note, gives it to Uriah, say, hey, go take that. Take that to the captain. Now, this is an honorable man, so he's not going to open this. This thing has been sealed by the king. Lose your life for that. He takes it. Captain opens it up. Looks at him like, boy, this is a bad day for you. Does exactly that. Uriah is killed. So listen, David didn't do it with his own sword, but David murdered him. Bathsheba now is without a husband. After the baby now, after Uriah has been killed, David says, well, she is a fine thing, so come on, why don't you just be my wife now? And God sends prophet Nathan to him to pull his attention. Now, let me just fast forward to the meat of all this whole story. He's married now to Bathsheba, this woman that he had adultery with, and you could also make claims that he just violated her, used his authority to have a sexual encounter with her. That would kind of, you know, fall under our modern, you know, rules of law today as rape. Takes her then, though, to become his wife. The first baby that they have dies, but they have another baby whose name is Solomon. And Solomon becomes the next king. Now, remember the point. Even what somehow sometimes appeared to not be God's will can still be worked into God's plan. Listen. What David did to Bathsheba and Uriah, that was not God's will. But David came to a place where he repented. And out of that repentance, God says, now I'm going to use the mess that you created to help to extend your dynasty and to have my plan come to pass in the earth and ultimately get my son into the earth. Just because it doesn't look like, and even though it wasn't a part of God's will, God can still work it into his plan when you and I repent. Ephesians 1, verse 4 and 5 says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us. Come on, say it. Say, God chose me. Come on, he chose you. He chose you. Come on, you are God's favorite. You should be excited about that. God loves us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. You know, my wife and I, Rhonda, we were talking about this just the other night that, you know, just still a part of that whole religious thinking makes us think somehow something is wrong with us. if we don't fit a certain model that society has, you know, kind of elevated and described and so forth, and you don't act this way, or you don't talk this way, or you don't behave this way, then the thinking that is pervasive in a lot of people is, what's wrong with me? And I got news for you. Nothing. There is nothing. In Christ, God has made you holy and without fault. God says, I look at you with eyes that you are perfect. This is why I like to say, God, you are just as perfect as God needs you to be. Now, see, again, religion then starts to go down the line of, yeah, but you did this wrong, you did that wrong, you did that wrong. Yeah, baby, but I did something right. I embraced Jesus. And that's the game changer. That changes everything. That washes away all that other stuff. Past, present, and future. Oh, praise him. He chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Ooh, do you hear that? It gave God great pleasure to get you. I remember some of my folks that, you know, from Detroit, y'all will know this. I remember the day I first saw this woman who has now become my wife. Now, listen, I met her before, but I saw her on this day. And on this day, we're downtown Detroit. It's a restaurant. It's called the Rooster Tail. There was a function that was going on. And I'm standing there coming out of my car with some friends, you know. She and I weren't together. We didn't talk. And I saw this vision. Come on now. Walking into the restaurant. And I said, oh, praise the Lord. Years, you know, go by. And I begin now the pursuit. And I want you to know, it gave me great pleasure to pursue her and then present to her the option. It was her option to marry me, and she said, yes. Great pleasure. I want you to know, it gives God great pleasure for you to be his son, for you to be his daughter. I believe God looks up and is like, ooh, look at that. Oh, it looks so good. Look at there, Gabriel, that's mine. They belong to me. Yeah, great pleasure, praise God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 goes on and says, furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. He chose us in advance, and he makes everything. Ladies and gentlemen, what does everything mean? What is left after everything? He makes everything work out according to his plan. Ah, yeah, but what about this? This bad happened, that bad happened. Again, not God's will, but in a heart that will continue to run unto him, God says, I can bring some good still out of it. I can still, watch this, establish your dynasty in the earth if you will trust me for it. The end of a good man or a good woman isn't just simply doing good things. And it certainly is not the material things of houses or, you know, other things, cars, boats, and whatever the case may be. It's bigger than that. The end of a good person is we leave a legacy. And as what I've been stressing this entire series, the financial legacy is very significant. It is. But it's an extension of our legacy of faith. If the only thing we're doing is leaving our children and the next generation of believers and the world more money, that doesn't draw the kingdom of God any closer to conclusion. We first leave a legacy of faith, And the financial element comes out of that relationship with God. That's the legacy that we are leaving. Keep your faith focused in what God has already done. Remember this, when we make generosity a priority, God makes sure we always have more than enough. When you make generosity a priority, God will always make sure you have more than enough. Our giving and our generosity are expressions of our faith. See, we give because what God has done. We give now, we give in the future because what God has done. Now, giving is not limited to just simply financial giving. Giving is a part of the encouragement that you give to others. Giving is a part of how you serve others. This is giving. This is all the expression of our faith. I can clearly identify where a person is with God based upon their sense of giving. We got quiet right there. Got quiet right there. Because giving, again, is an expression of faith. See, a lot of times, okay, let's try this. A lot of times individuals will try something like giving. Can I put it in these terms? Church giving, you know, where they kind of learn, you know, somebody taught them about tithing, offering, so forth. So they try that for a while, but then they feel like, well, this ain't working. You know, and then they stop. See, that's not giving out of faith. That's that religious stuff. But giving out of faith is where you are, again, focused on what God has already done for you in your past. And recognizing that everything you have right now is because of his goodness and grace. It's because of others gave so that you could receive. So for us, it's a sense of gratitude of why we give. We don't give reluctantly. We don't give out of necessity. We give out of joy. This is what scripture is talking about where it says God loves a cheerful, joyous, prompt-to-do-it giver whose heart is in his giving. You're grateful. Come on, say it with me. Say, I'm grateful. And so that's why we begin to leave a legacy for others. That's why we begin to say no to some things for ourselves so that others can be able to walk in the fullness of God. Man, when we can look back over the history and see the individuals that made sacrifices for us. Sacrifices, and I'm not just talking about sacrifices just so we can have life, but I'm talking about sacrifices so we can have life with God. It is phenomenal to look at. We're praying for, you know, nations, you know, earlier. There are so many nations today where the gospel is oppressed. Churches are persecuted. I have a class with a particular individual. He's a missionary. And he's over in the Middle East, and he and a team are in the process of launching a church in a country there. But, you know, he has to be tight-lipped by everything that's shared over the internet because he knows that the countries are watching, and they're trying to shut all that stuff down. But I'm praying for him, though, because here it is. He's from America, but he sensed this calling. You know, to be in this particular region, putting his life on the line. Watch this, to get the gospel out. It's a sense of gratefulness of why we give. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to try to end right here. It says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. Now, again, God's not talking about the issue about tithing or not tithing here. That's already established. He's talking about, in this context, God's talking about beyond your tithe. It says, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Someone say, that's me. And God will generously provide all you need. and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always, come on, man. Come on, then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. What activates this? Being this grateful, cheerful giver. It says, verse 9, as the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. Yeah. Come on. Say it with me. Dynasty. that's what we're talking about here, this legacy living. We're talking about now creating dynasty. Where people look back, should the Lord Jesus tarry hundreds of years from now and be like, oh my goodness, I am so thankful for great, 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 great grandmama. Come on, me, ma. Whatever name they might give to you, because of the faith that was established. You realize lives were changed as a result of the faith of who Timothy's grandmother and mother. He comes into the faith, comes a protege of the Apostle Paul as a result, and does many tremendous things. Keep this in mind. This is kind of, if you think about this, this is kind of the kingdom sequence. First, you decide how much to give. Then God provides. You decide, God provides. You decide, God provides. Or let me say it this way. This will connect with some of you. You've heard me say this before. When you become addicted to giving, God will supply your habit. Some of us can probably attest to some times that maybe we were running after something else in our past. And maybe there was even a case of addiction. One thing about an addiction, you take like a drug addiction. If you decide you want it, there is supply there to get it. And see, this is how the kingdom works. God says, if you decide you want to do it, God says there is supply for you to have it. But now this is all in the context of leaving legacy. This is all in the context of giving, not just consuming. This is not about consuming. This is about now having a dynasty and leaving a legacy. God will meet us where we are, and he will provide seed to help us sow in line with what's in our heart. That's God's promise to you and I. Keep your faith focused in on God's past. And if at any point you are feeling anxious about your future, I want to challenge you to look back now on what God has said. And if you're not sure about what God has said about you, come ask somebody. Don't sit back in isolation. Find out what God has said. And listen, and when you hear it, get your mind out of the way. Yeah. I had like an immersion of words coming together. They're mind and behind at the same time. So I just went with the first one. But you got to get it out of the way. It is one of if not it's definitely one of the absolute greatest sorrows of pastoring, and that is to watch people who have received truth still stay focused on a lie. And reap the fruit of the lies. So it's been one of the greatest sorrows of my time in ministry to just watch individuals go through that religious cycle like that. My prayer for you, that it shall not be so for you and your house. Come on, embrace what God says. Embrace it. Father, help us in this day to renew our mind further into the truth of what you've already done. So help us to understand, we don't need you to do anything else. What you've done already is more than enough for the fullness of life and godliness for ourselves, for our children, for our grandchildren, and well beyond. Help us today, Daddy, to live a life of faith that is focused on your promises, that's focused on your works. And Daddy, may that faith focus now do what you said, alleviate all anxiety about the future. Father, help us to grow in this area, not just simply for ourselves as consumers, but so that we can be better legacy givers and legacy livers. Father, where we are helping others to be able to live a life of faith in you. So we thank you for this. We give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name. If you agree, would you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Please, every head bowed, every eye closed in prayer, just for a moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Listen, everything always starts in relationship with God. If you're going to try to focus on what God has done for you in the past without a relationship with him, that's kind of the epitome again of religion. You're just trying to work some biblical principles now to have a greater success in your life. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about that you're living a life with God. And in that intimacy with God, you're focused on what it is he has done for you. And you allow the shalom that comes from that to permeate your life. But it all starts in this place called relationship. So our heads are bowed and eyes are closed in prayer. If you've never stepped into a relationship, come on, even your own line, I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you so that today can be the grandest day of your life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in prayer. So this is what I want to do. If you want to make that decision today, and I certainly encourage you to do so, join me in this prayer together. Matter of fact, and we're all going to pray together. So everyone, please, right here in the auditorium, lift up two hands under heaven. That's where our help comes from. At home, come on, just lift them up, stretch them up high. And everyone, say this out loud. Dear Father, thank you again for loving me and leaving me a legacy in the person of your son, Jesus, who lived for me, who died for me, and who rose for me. Today, Jesus, I embrace you as my master, my savior, my Lord, my king, my everything. I turn my back on my own way, and I embrace your plan for my life. Thank you for loving me and making me your own. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's just rejoice right there for a moment. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, come on. I said rejoice. Come on, rejoice. Come on, rejoice. Come on, rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Atmosphere shift in Jesus' name.